Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three, brought to you by DraftKings. The football season is just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And it's pretty obvious, Dusty, that your pup is excited about betting DraftKings.
She just went and made a bet right now, got so excited she had to scream it at the top of her little lungs. I love it.
Well, just as a quick aside, I'm on a streak with DraftKings. I've got 4 wins in a row. And by the way, just as an aside, I typically make my pick at the end of the week for the game. I called it 41-10. So I had the margin exactly, and I was a field goal off for both teams. So I'll take that as a win, Dusty.
I like to think it was copycat, because at the very beginning of last week, I called it 45-17 Penn State, and that was also pretty close. Also, probably the inspiration for your pick. I'll take credit for yours and mine. Thank you.
Oh, that you got broad shoulders. You carry that burden well, though, Dusty. So
this whole show, this entire network are on these pale, bony little shoulders of mine.
Well, we're thinking of changing the name to the Dustin Kickoff Show. What do you think?
It's got a good ring to it.
Got a ring to it. All right, Dustin. Yeah. We spent the first two quarters talking about the offense. Let's go to the other side of the ball. I think we could be equally or even more excited about the defense. The offense scored 2 touchdowns on its first 2 possessions. Defense went 3 and out. As a team, through 4 possessions, I'd say this team was pitching a perfect game.
It's exactly how you would draw it up if you're Penn State. It's the opposite of how you would draw it up if you're Ball State. Ball State wanted to be in a position where they could stay patient, where they could run some clock, whether that was in the short passing game or that was in the running game. You know, playing in a tie ball game for as long as possible. Like, obviously the best case scenario for Ball State was to have any kind of lead and take the crowd out of it and all that. You know, that was probably far-fetched from the beginning, but they couldn't have drawn it up worse in this game than to go out there and to go 3 and out, 3 and out, and to have Penn State do what they did. Like I said earlier in the show, at that point in time, yeah, the game wasn't mathematically over, but more or less, you know, any margin that Ball State had kind of went out the window there. We touched on all the good things the offense did, but that defense, man, I mean, for the second week in a row, just a lot of difference makers all over the field and a lot of hunger, a lot of guys flying to the ball. And, you know, it showed up against Wisconsin. To allow 3 yards per carry against Wisconsin was a very big deal, I thought. In this game, they just made the field feel incredibly small for Ball State. No matter what they were doing, whatever they schemed to get guys open, there was always a Penn State player in the neighborhood, with only a couple real exceptions, really. Penn State was flying around. They had long guys everywhere, athletes everywhere, speed everywhere. And I understand that Penn State won't have that speed and athleticism advantage quite to that extent against, you know, most of the teams that are on the schedule. But they utilize it in a smart way, controlled aggression. I mean, I think just to me, through 2 weeks, just the strategy and the tone and the eagerness of this Penn State defense to put themselves in position to make plays. The turnover thing has been huge through 2 weeks, and I don't think that's by accident either. I just can't imagine a better start to the year for Penn State's defense than what they've done through 2 weeks so far. And from my vantage point, it looks totally repeatable. With the guy, we'll get into some of the individual efforts, but with what they've got going on and the way that they're playing covers and the way they're rushing the passer, it looks like it's pretty repeatable against good teams.
Dustin, yeah, we will get to the individual players because there were some real standouts. Before we get there, though, two things that stood out to me through both games, and I want you to comment on, is it just me, or are they tackling way better than they did the last couple years? And the second thing that absolutely upset every Penn State fan is how does the receiver get so wide open? It's always a breakdown in the defense. We haven't been seeing that either.
Everything's tighter, you know, and I think obviously last year was last year and they did not tackle well. And you can, I'm sure there's a long list of valid reasons or excuses why things didn't go very well on either side of the ball for Penn State last year. But I think the tackling thing, and I think the communication breakdown thing wasn't just last year. You know, that was a 2-3 year trend, really, of problems in those areas. So they are not problems at all this year. So whatever they changed from a practice standpoint, whether that's player leadership, whatever's going on, you know, not only are they tackling clean. I mean, I'm sure there have been a couple missed tackles, but I can't really recite anything egregious of a guy whiffing on a tackle. When Brandon Smith makes a tackle, that guy's going backwards, not forwards. You know, I think there's multiple guys getting involved. Everybody is executing big things and little things on both sides of the ball just very, very well. And that includes on defense. That includes both of these areas, the communication breakdown. They've got good players on the back end of the defense, and they seem to be in the right spots now. Joey Porter Jr. and Tariq Castro Fields. I mean, this is a really good 1-2 punch, but let's not forget about Daquan Hardy as well. They've got good depth and they've got good players and they're using them.
All right, I told you we would get to the individual, so you're jumping the gun again on me there, Dustin. But you mentioned Joey Porter Jr., and I was watching a replay of the game, and there was a specific play. He just came up and made such a sure tackle, form tackle. The guy just had, it was a little dump off. The guy had no chance to reach the first down marker, and no, just zero chance. And that was so much fun to see. Now, you brought up another guy, Daquan Hardy, who has been a bit of a favorite, I know, of mine. I think you've been a Hardy fan also. I've always been concerned with his size. If he comes in as a nickel corner and has to cover a 6'5", 250-pound tight end, it creates a bit of a mismatch for him. But if he's covering that traditional slot receiver, he's spectacular.
He, honestly, in the way the game's going, every team's got that guy. Every team's got that 5'10", 170-pound slot guy. And Daquan Hardy is just perfect for that job. He's able to mirror those players in very, very effectively. And I think he's been able to mirror guys, and he plays bigger than 5'9". Like, I don't think 5'9 is a bad thing at all. And you look at what's happening at the next level, these 5'9", 5'10 slot guys are getting paid, you know, $10 million plus a year to play that job because it's an important position in the way that the game has shifted. That slot position has been so crucial. So defending the slot position is crucial too. You know, we spent a lot of time this offseason obviously talking about Tariq Castro Fields and Joey Porter Jr., who, by the way, as you mentioned, very good tacklers for cornerbacks. Very willing and able and capable tacklers for cornerbacks. And we spent a lot of time talking about Kalen King. Johnny Dixon was a big highlight of the spring. But Daquan Hardy's just been there. You know, he's been there. He's been consistent. He's sticky in coverage. He looked outstanding against Ball State. And this was before he really showed up on the stat sheet exactly. Like, he wasn't credited for much. Three tackles and that interception, which was just picture-perfect coverage. And that's what he brings to the table. Picture-perfect coverage, sticky. You're going to have to beat him. He's not giving anything up easily. You're going to have to beat him. And, you know, he'll just have to tip his cap when that happens. But just outstanding and just another testament to the depth on that cornerback position.
He's also, when they blitz him, he makes stuff happen in the opponent's backfield. But the play where he made the interception, of course, he made a great play on the ball to get the interception, but it was on the replay where I was really impressed. He was completely man-to-man on a guy in the slot, And what that quarterback was thinking, I don't know, because Daquan Hardy was in that guy's hip pocket from the line of scrimmage to the point where he intercepted the pass. There was no gap there. There was no opening there. No way. And I was more impressed with everything leading up to the interception right. than I was with the interception itself.
At every juncture of that route, Daquan Hardy was exactly where he was supposed to be. From the moment that ball was snapped until he caught it, he was exactly where you're supposed to be. Now, Drew Plitt, I'm just looking through. I mean, maybe there are times where your guy's not open, but you got to trust him. That really wasn't that time. That wasn't the time to throw it up for grabs, because there were, I don't know, very, very few places that ball could go where Daquan Hardy wasn't making a play on it. And that was just Daquan Hardy, man, just from the beginning of the route to the end, picture perfect. And, you know, really another encouraging thing for this Penn State defense.
All right, it is now official. We are both Parker Washington and Daquan Hardy fanboys. We're in charge of the fan club.
I'll own that.
I will too. Let's talk Jesse Luketa. This experiment with the hybrid defensive end / linebacker seems to be working, Dusty.
In a perfect world, you wouldn't have had to tap into Jesse Luketa in the second half at Wisconsin and pigeonhole him anywhere. You don't want to pin him anywhere, because you want the defense, you want the offense to not really be sure of what he's doing or where he's going. But his flexibility to play both of those spots, and I thought he held up really, really well from that linebacker spot in the first half against Ball State. He made another big play in the first half that's not included, you know, in that interception he made. But when he's able to move around, and when he's like, I really think his future is absolutely at that defensive end position. And, you know, maybe that 3-4 outside linebacker at the next level. You look at what he, you know, 6'3", 250, you know, he's got the frame and the movement to be able to, you know, maybe primarily be a rush guy. But if you ask him to cover a tight end, he'll be able to do that. So I really like what we've seen from him. That pick six was a play that, you know, I think only a guy with his skill set is able to make. And that's from, you know, it looked like, I'm not sure what his assignment was exactly, but he wasn't tearing off the edge. I think he was just kind of playing a contain sort of job there. And he sort of manipulated himself to get into that passing lane and read that quarterback's eyes, not once, but twice, and adjusted and got into that passing lane. Just savvy, savvy play and unbelievable athleticism to make the tip, to catch the pass, and then to take off and take it to the house.
I didn't give you enough time to talk a lot about that play. We're going to pick it up right from there next quarter, Dusty.
The football season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off Week 2, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.